We're going to do some communal reading this morning. We're going to treat this a little bit like a responsive reading today, because you will see there's a repeated phrase in every verse in the second half of it that says His love endures forever, or His mercy endureth forever, or His steadfast love endures forever, whatever version of the Bible you're reading this morning. The one I'm reading says His love endures forever, but you feel free to read whatever one's in yours. So I'm going to read the first half of every verse, and I want you all to read the second half of the verse for me. Okay, you with me? You okay with that? Too bad if you're not. That's what we're doing. This is God's word for us this morning. Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To Him who alone does great wonders. His love endures forever. Who by His understanding made the heavens. His love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters. His love endures forever. Who made the great lights? His love endures forever. The sun to govern the day? His love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night? His love endures forever. To Him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt? His love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them? His love endures forever. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, His love endures forever. To Him who divided the Red Sea asunder, His love endures forever. And brought Israel through the midst of it, His love endures forever. But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea, love endures forever. To Him who led His people through the desert, His love endures forever. Who struck down great kings, His love endures forever. And killed mighty kings, His love endures forever. Sion, king of the Amorites, His love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, His love endures forever. And gave their land as an inheritance, His love endures. An inheritance to His servant Israel, His love endures forever. To the one who remembered us in our low estate, His love endures forever. And freed us from our enemies, His love endures forever. And who gives food to every creature, love endures forever. Give thanks to the gods of heaven, His love endures forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, help us, please, to hear Your voice. Would You make our hearts receptive and responsive to Your word? Would You train our eyes and focus them on You, and teach our hands and our feet to move in fresh obedience according to the dictates of Your word? Work now, we pray, as Your word is read and proclaimed in all our hearts. For Your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Christmas is past, a new year just begun. It's that time of year for giving thanks. We give thanks for family and friends with whom we spent much of this time of year. We're grateful for gifts given, but especially for those received. We're thankful for food, although I'm guessing one or two of us might be considering the exercise plan in the weeks ahead. Of course, we also look back over a year that's been and thank God for His goodness and faithfulness to us. We're mindful for the way His love has kept and guided, urged and inspired us, cheered us on our way, sought us and saved us, pardoned and provided. Lord, for the years we bring our thanks today. And as we begin a new year, we do so with thankful and grateful hearts. And yet our thankfulness, our cheeriness, is based so often on the good that we experience. The truth is, though, that God is with us in all of the circumstances of life. He's with us in the hard days, the tough times, the difficult moments. And we can be thankful there as well. Indeed, we can be even more thankful, for it is there we truly see and experience His unfailing love. In 1636, amid the darkness of the 30 Years' War, a German pastor by the name of Martin Reinhardt buried 5,000 parishioners in 1 year. 1 year. An average of 15 funerals a day. His parish was ravaged by war, death, economic disaster. In the heart of that darkness, with the cries of fear outside his window, he sat down and he wrote some words which were later put to music. And he wrote these words: "Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom His world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today." A man who knew that thanksgiving has nothing to do with outward circumstances, regardless of how good or how bad those circumstances may be. And so I want to encourage us today at the start of a new year to be a thankful people, to be a people who daily look at our experiences and find ways to thank God for His goodness, for His blessings, for His countless gifts of love. Life can be hard. I know that only full well. But God is always there and God is always blessing even through the pain. So this year, would you stop looking down so much? And would you keep looking up? Would you see your great God and see His love for you? That love that is unending, unfailing, unchanging. This year, let's be giving thanks for God's unfailing love. Psalm 136 is a song of gratitude. Though the psalm was written nearly 3,000 years ago, the things that led the psalmist to praise and thank God still apply to us today. The command to give thanks is repeated in verse 1, 2, 3, and 26, each time with the same reason given, and you know it well because you repeated it 26 times there. His love endures forever. Arguably, the same command is implied for every verse of the psalm because the same reason concludes all 26 verses of that psalm. His love endures forever. Here in Psalm 136, we see the psalmist dip his bucket into the ocean of the grace and glory of God 26 times. And each time he lets down his rope, he reaches the same conclusion. There is no bottom. God's love endures forever. The psalmist is giving thanks for God's unfailing love. This is the only psalm that has a response line repeated like this one, that His love endures forever. Perhaps the leader in the temple, in the synagogue, would say the first part, and the worshippers would repeat the refrain, much like we did this morning. It's a kind of responsive reading that reminded them over and over of the goodness and the grace of God. So let's look briefly at some of the things that Psalm 136 encourages us to give thanks for, so that we might be encouraged to do likewise this year. He begins in the opening three verses by saying, "Give thanks for who He is. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever." So often, we want to thank people for what they've done or for what they've given to us. Last week we spoke about all the little letters that we write to thank people for the presents they gave us, don't we? And when people thank us, we wonder, is it because they're thankful for us or for what we've given them? Would they like us and praise us if we had nothing to give to them? And the end of Habakkuk is always such a wonderful reminder of that great truth and a favorite of mine. Because in Habakkuk 3:17, the prophet writes these words. He says, "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no fruit, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The psalmist tells us here to praise and to thank God simply for who he is. The first reason we have to give thanks to God is not because of anything he has done for us, but just because he is good. Everything that he does for us springs out of who he is. He does all these good things for us because he is good. He is always good. That's just who he is. And that can be hard for us to grasp as human beings because we have no one to compare him to. We know people who have some good qualities, but none of them are always good. Just think of your family and your friends. You can quickly say to me that so-and-so is good. They have the loveliest smile and the kindest heart, and that is true. But they're not always like that. Listen, when our kids were young, we would always say they were the best babies in the world. But as soon as you heard those toddling feet of Rebecca in the middle of the night at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, you knew she was going to end up inside your bed right in the middle and you're going to get kicked out of the bed. She might have been a good baby for the first 3 or 4 hours sleeping, but after that, by jingo, it was a struggle. We can be good. All of us can be good, but not all of the time. But the thing is, God is always good. You've heard that expression, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And that is really true. God is always good. He is never anything but good. We don't have to catch him at a good time. We don't have to catch him in a good mood. He is always good. We don't know anyone else like him. He is always good to us. We can know that he is always working good things in and for us, even in the worst of times. And we should give thanks for that. Everything else that we have, everything else that we give thanks for comes out of this, that God is good, and he's good to us. And the goodness of the Lord stands because of his steadfast love, because of his mercy that endures forever. Because God is good, you can be sure that his love will be fixed on you forever. The psalmist proclaims that at the start and then right at the end of this song. Who is God? He is good. And he's also the God of gods, and he's the Lord of lords. There's no one like him. He's the one true God, the Lord your God, who is one. He reigns and he rules. He is the sovereign Lord, the supreme God. And because he's in sovereign control, working all things together for his own glory and the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose, who does all things according to the counsel of his own will, his love is steadfast. And it endures forever. He is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, in his wisdom, in his power, in his holiness, in his justice, in his goodness, in his truth. God holds you in the grip of his love, and that is the ultimate grounds of our deepest gratitude. And as you give thanks for the steadfast love of God for you that will never fail, that will never fade, that will never perish. It is his always, forever, stable, constant, unshakable love fixed on you. Isn't that an incredible thought this morning? If you just pause for a moment, God's love, unchanging, unending, unfailing, is fixed on you. On you as an individual this morning. Give thanks for who God is first and foremost and above all else. But the psalmist's got a few more things in there. He goes on to say, give thanks for his creation. Verses 4-9 declare some amazing truths to us. To him who alone does great wonders, who by his understanding made the heavens, who spread out the earth upon the waters, who made the great lights, the sun to govern the day, and the moon and stars to govern the night. The psalmist has no problems with the creation story that so many find difficult in our world today. He knows God. He knows the power God has, and he knows that the words recorded in the Pentateuch to him are true. God made the world in 7 days. Day one, he gave us light. Day two, he gave us the sky. Day three, land and sea. Day four, the sun and the moon. Day and night. Day five, the fish and the birds. Day six, the animals on the land. And finally, the crown of his creation. You, me, human beings. And then on day seven, he rested. And this was to be a special day, the Sabbath, and how we've lost sight of the rhythm of life, 6 days for work and one for rest. How we've lost sight of the need for that day of rest to be a holy day as well, when we can think on God and worship him together. And all these verses describe God's creation. He made the heavens and the waters and the sun and the moon and the stars, and he made them for us as a gift of his grace. Why? Because he loves us. He did it because his love endures forever. And just look around you as you go home today. Don't just look down at your feet as you're walking along, or look at the steering wheel or the white lines in front of you, although that's probably quite important for some of you to be doing in your cars today. But what do you see when you look around? You see the beauty of God's creation. The Ockels, the Trossachs, the River Forth. You see the trees and the grass and some plants popping up in the gardens already. How the plants are confused by the weather, by the way, aren't they? Things budding that have got no right to bud for another month or two yet. You see each other. Listen, I think sometimes that we forget in our world today that life is precious. Each of us is fearfully and wonderfully made, knit together by God in our mother's wombs at the very moment of conception, created in the very image of God. Stop letting anyone else tell you that you are nothing, by the way. Stop letting other people tell you that you're worthless, that you're useless, that you're ugly, that you're damaged goods. Listen, you are God's creation. And what does this psalm tell you? That God loves you with an enduring, unfailing, unchanging, unending love. You are precious to him. I hope you appreciate God's creation. I know a number of you do. I've seen the pictures, the posts of sunsets and mountains and different creatures, and that's a great thing. God has given us so many blessings in creation. He has made and he's placed us within it. And that is another reason for us to give thanks to God. But the psalmist doesn't stop there. There's so much more here that he wants to give thanks for. He says, give thanks for redemption. In verses 10 to 15, he reminds us how God redeemed his people from the Egyptians. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder and brought Israel through the midst of it, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. This is all about the Exodus. It's about the great things God did for them as he brought them out of captivity. And you know this story well. You know how God heard the cries of his people, how he spoke to Moses from within the burning bush, how he sent Moses to Pharaoh to tell him to let his people go, how Pharaoh refused, and God sent plague after plague until eventually Pharaoh relented. But even then, he quickly changed his mind and chased them down to the edge of the water, and God opened up that passageway right in the middle, and the people of Israel got through. And by the time Pharaoh and his men and their chariots got into the middle, the water swept over them and destroyed them. The Exodus was considered to be the great salvation event of the Old Testament. God told the people of Israel it was there that he'd redeemed them and that they became his people. And so when Israel thought of the Exodus, they thought of salvation. And we too have a salvation event, but it's not an Exodus from Egypt. For those of us living in the post-New Testament era, our salvation event is what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. Instead of a lamb sacrificed at the Passover before the Exodus, we have what 1 Peter 1:19 calls the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Our salvation event is Jesus' death on the cross for us. He washed our sins away. He gave us a relationship with God, a home in heaven. If you're a Christian, there is nothing greater than this that you have to give thanks for. Your sins are forgiven, every one of them. You have a new life. You have a relationship with God and a home in heaven that no one can take away. You can always give thanks to God for these things, no matter what you're going through in your life. Get back to the cross. Get back to the cross each and every day and remember your salvation. God has redeemed you. He's redeemed you. To grab a line from the Proclaimers, though, they were on their way from misery to happiness. God led them out of Egypt, and he led them into the promised land. This would be their home. It wouldn't be without difficulty, though. Foreign cities and people needed to be conquered. And so in verses 17 to 22, we find the psalmist say, "Give thanks for victories." He says, "Who struck down the great kings and killed mighty kings? Sion, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as an inheritance to his servant Israel." These were just some of the kings who came out and opposed Israel when they were on their way to the promised land. But God helped them to defeat these enemies. So Psalm 136, it says, "Remember the victories that God has given to you and give thanks for them." Whenever a child of God goes into battle, listen, we don't go into fight alone. God is always with us, leading, guiding, directing, helping. What an encouragement these verses are, because they remind us of God's faithfulness in spite of our failures. It would have been so easy for the Jews to think that our sin has made God forget us. We have no hope, no future. We've blown everything. But despite their sin, despite their foolish unbelief, God never gave up on his people. And I just want to say today, let every child of God take hope. Your past does not determine your future. You may have failed again and again and again, but there is still mercy for those who trust in the Lord, who seek after him. Who knows? But that tomorrow you may see God win a great victory in your life, all because his love endures forever. We have our own enemies, the devil, the world, our very own sinful flesh. Those enemies are sworn to destroy us and never stop attacking and hating us. But listen, the God who protected the Israelites and granted them victory also protects us and grants us victory. Hang in there. Hold fast, get your head up. He will see you through this. Keep your eyes on him. And for this, we want to thank and praise his name. God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His love for you never changes. Indeed, his love endures forever. And you're thinking to yourself, you missed out verse 16 there. Well, you're probably not. Depends how awake and alert you are. But I'm going back to verse 16. Because there's a wonderful reminder in there that not only did the psalmist give thanks for the victories that God gave, but he also gives thanks for trials. There's an interesting one. He gives thanks for trials. It says in verse 16, "To him who led his people through the desert." And we read that verse and we think that that's true and that's good. God led and God guided. There was the pillar of cloud by day, the fire by night, and the people followed the cloud. And wherever it stopped, they stopped and they pitched their tents, and God led them on their way. And God led them through that vast expanse of waste and wilderness for 40 years. And so many things happened during those 40 years, didn't they? There was the manna and there was the quail. There was water from the rock. There was Balaam and his talking donkey. There was Moses and Mount Sinai. There was a golden calf. There was Kadesh Barnea. There was the 12 spies. There was bitter water. There was bleached bones in the desert. There was complaining. And there were continual challenges to Moses' leadership. But through it all, God led his people. And he led them to the promised land. Note that God led his people through the desert. Through the desert. He didn't lead them round it. He didn't bypass it. He didn't jump on a plane and fly over the top of it. He led them through the desert. And someone might say, "I'll give God thanks for getting me out of the wilderness, but I don't like him taking me through it. Is that really a reason for giving thanks?" Well, it really is. To get to the promised land, they had to go through the desert. They had to learn some hard lessons. They had to experience so many different things, and so it will be for all of us. God leads all of his children toward heaven, but there's no easy road for them as they journey. There are many detours, many diversions, many delays, and more than a few seeming dead ends. But God works in and through it all to see that they finally arrive. Why? Because his love endures forever. Listen carefully. Even the difficult times that God leads us through are for our good. Even those trials are from his love and from his grace for us, because he is working through them for our good. We don't enjoy those things, but God brings us through them in his grace, because he knows it is both for our own good and the good plans that he has for our world. Friend, let me try and say this as gently as I can this morning. You've gone through something hard. Maybe you're even right now in a difficult situation. But today, God wants you to learn to give him thanks for the good things he is doing in you and in others, and for his ultimate purposes through that difficulty. Psalm 136 shows us that we can give thanks to him even when he is leading us through the wilderness and through the trials. And you know, I just love verses 23 to 25 as we get back on track here. For here we see the call to give thanks because he cares for me. Give thanks for his care for me. To the one who remembered us in our low estate and freed us from our enemies, and who gives food to every creature. You know, it's one thing to know that God did all these things for people back in Israel's day or in some other place. It's another thing to see that he does it for me right here, right now. And that's what David says here, who remembered us in our low estate. He's saying God saw us, God helped us, God did this for us. He made it personal. And of course, that's the key to salvation. It has to be personal. It's not enough to know that Jesus came to the world to die on the cross for sinners. It's not enough to believe that God so loved the world. The devil knows that. The demons know that. You have to make it personal. You have to believe that he did this for you. You have to confess your sins. Make him Lord of your life. You have to make it personal. You have to trust that God loves and cares and provides for you. Have you done that? Have you recognized God's unfailing love for you personally, for you as an individual? You can do that now, right here, in this place, in this moment. We may be poor. We may be lowly. We may be undeserving. But God loves us. God hears us. That gives hope to every one of us. These verses contain three great truths about God. He remembered us, he freed us, and he feeds us. Your past does not determine your future. He remembers us by sending Jesus to save us. He freed us from our sins. He feeds us every single day. What God did for ancient Israel, he does for his people everywhere, all the time, in every situation. Why? Because his love endures forever. We can give thanks today to God because of his personal love and care for us as individuals. Friend, don't keep God at a distance. Don't think he can only do this for others. Don't think he can only do this for good people. He does all of this for you too. He does this because his love endures forever. He made you. He knows you. And still, he loves you. Don't run from him. But rather run to him. Find salvation and security in him alone. He cares for you. He loves you. Psalm 136 begins with the call to give thanks to the Lord, and it ends in exactly the same way, by lifting our eyes up to heaven. Give thanks to the God of heaven, he says. His love endures forever. And friend, that is what I said at the start this morning, that I want to encourage us today and right through this year to see God's love. Lift your eyes from your situation and see your Savior. Lift your eyes from your difficulties and see your Deliverer. Lift your eyes from your grave struggles and see your great God. I know for sure that he will not disappoint you and he will not let you down. Why can I be so sure? Because his love endures forever. Why does the psalmist hammer that home 26 times, that theme that God's love endures forever? It's because the enemy wants us to doubt it, especially when trials come. And so it's good to praise and to thank God in the good times and for his rich blessings and joyful moments. But it's even sweeter to thank God through the hard times too, as we see his unfailing love. Give thanks for who he is, for his creation, for redemption, for victories, for trials, for his care for us, and give thanks for 10,000 reasons beside as well. Let's remember that this year, and let's act it out daily in our lives. Why not do a simple thing? Why not get a little book, a little journal, even the diary you've got, and every day make a conscious effort to write down 3, 2, even 1 thing that you can give thanks to God for that day. And then when you're having a tough day, flick back through that journal, that notebook, that diary, and just see what you've written down and have to give thanks to God for in all of those previous days this year. Let's be giving God thanks for his unfailing love in all situations and all circumstances. Why? Because. Perfect. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your unfailing love. We thank you that it endures forever. We thank you for your mercy, for your steadfast love, for that love that does not change, spoil, perish, fade. We thank you that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you for all of your blessings. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your creation. We thank you for redemption, for victories. We thank you even for trials and difficulties, Father God. And we thank you for your personal care for each one of us. Lord, I pray today that you would help each of us to know you and to love you even more. And would you help us this year to keep our eyes fixed on you, to know that you're with us through all of the experiences of life. Would you teach us things anew? Would you lead us through the trials? Would you help us to know your unfailing love? And Lord, would you help us to write that down, to speak of it, to remind ourselves of it always, and even to share that with others, the things that we've got to give thanks for. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your unfailing love. Allow that word, Lord, to dwell in our minds. Allow it to work its way to our hearts, Lord. Allow us to live it out in our lives this day and in all these days to come. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.